Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
Awesome to see you this morning. So good to be in the house of God. So good to be preaching this morning. We're starting a brand new series. So let's bow our heads and let's commit this time to God. Father, I thank you for the power of your word and the power of people just gathering together, because whenever people gather together in your name, your presence and your power shows up. One of the greatest things that we could do is sit and hear and listen to the word of God. Pray this word would be anointed. It would pierce our hearts, challenge us, challenge our faith, and that we'd be able to put feet to the words that we hear today, so that by doing that, we would glorify you and we would end up blessing our own lives as well. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. So, message title is Keep on Walking. Keep walking towards the cross. The brand new series that we're starting is called Easter. Easter, and what a great event that is. So in this new series, we're going to focus on the greatest event that happened. And it's, now we call it Easter, right? And it's the event that changed the world, right? It changed the world. I'm going to talk about Jesus. We're going to talk about his passion. We're going to talk about his purpose. We're going to talk about his perseverance and how that changed everything. You know, you read the life of Jesus, and you read the Gospels, and you'll know and you understand that Jesus faced great opposition on this earth, didn't he? But that week before he gave his life on the cross, in that final week, he had to face and overcome literal walls. Great walls of adversity, and adversity outside, adversity inside, emotions. He had to overcome these walls of adversity in order to keep walking towards the cross. It was the day before his death on the cross. It was Thursday, what we call Thursday. And Jesus was with his closest disciples. That was Peter, James, and John. In Matthew's Gospel 26, verse 38, says, "Then he said to them, 'My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me.'" These words show, they were evidence that Jesus was wrestling, he was struggling with this decision. It was a decision that he'd been making for 33 years to walk the path that God has for his life. Verse 39 says, going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." He made a decision that would determine not just his destiny, but our destiny and the destiny of mankind. And so he set his face to go to Jerusalem. Isaiah 50, verse 7, prophetic words. "Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame." That's Jesus. That was his attitude. And you talk about, think about, read about all that Jesus did in the Bible. The miracles of faith that he did. From John chapter 4, turning the water into wine. At a wedding where people were gathered. At a fun human event. First miracle. Miracle of faith. How about the feeding of the 5,000 as he's preaching on the hillside? Miracle, great miracle of faith. How about the calming of the winds of the waves? How about Jesus walking on water? Great miracle of faith. How about the driving of demons out of people? How about the healing of every sickness and illness? How about the miracle of raising up dead people from the dead? All these are great demonstrations of Jesus' faith. But I want to tell you, the greatest demonstration of Jesus' faith was seen by his determination, by his decision to keep walking to the cross. You and I are here today because of what he did, because he kept walking to the cross. We're here today in church. We are forgiven. We are free. We've been set free from sin. We've been set free from death. We've been set free from hell. We've been given a new life. We've been given eternal life because Jesus kept walking to the cross. We are in right standing with God today. We are righteous because he made that one decision, step by step, decision by decision, to keep walking to the cross. Amen? I am so thankful that Jesus did that. Are you thankful today? Are you thankful for what he did for you? Thank God Jesus was determined to walk to the cross. Point number one, every decision that we make, every decision matters. You know, even the small ones matter. Even the smallest of decisions that you make can be important. Every decision that we make can be like a step in the right direction. Every good thing from God that happens to us happens because we make a good decision, right? Do you remember remember when you raised your hand and you made that decision, you invited Jesus into your heart? At that very moment, the Bible says you become born again. You're a brand new person. You're part of the kingdom of God. It happened at that very moment. But I want to tell you, that was just one decision. It's the greatest decision you could ever make, but it's just one. There's a next decision after that. Your greatest decision now becomes your next decision. Right? We need to keep on making good decisions, right decisions. I say, don't underestimate the power of a good decision. Even the smallest decision can have great impact on your life. Like making the decision to go to church. You know that matters? That really matters? That matters to your soul? It was King David. King David wrote 73 Psalms. And in one of those Psalms, Psalm 63, he says to God, God, I have beheld you in the sanctuary. Where's the sanctuary? Where people gather to go to church. I have seen your glory and your power. And because of that, I will lift up my hands and I will praise you. And then he says, and my soul will be satisfied with the richest of foods. Another version says, shall be fed with the richest of fare. Therefore, I will praise you. I will worship you. Your soul needs to be fed. Your soul is your real you. How many feeds your outer? Your soul is your inner man, but you also have your outer man. You know, when I look at you, immediately I see your outer man. How many of you feed your outer man every single day? You never miss 3 square meals a day, do you? Right? I mean, you got to do that because otherwise you'll die. Listen, your soul can atrophy. Your soul, your mind, your who you are in Christ can get small if you're not in the right atmosphere, if it's not drinking in, if it's not feeding in the Word of God, if it's not in the presence of God with God's people. Your soul breathes. And if your soul doesn't get to breathe, it's like a fish that you take out of water. It'll lay there for a while, but it'll start to flail around. And we flail around sometimes in life because we're not in the presence of God where we should be, and we're not being fed. You can't grow, you can't be strong without being in the presence of God. Going to church matters. It matters for you. It matters for your kids, your children. It matters for your family. It matters today. It matters next week. It matters next year, the year after that, for eternity. It matters. Amen? We need to make decisions. Church is so important. It's such a vital part of our life. You know, so many things that we take for granted. We were at a conference last week in the Red Deer, and the speaker said, church is a gift, and church is a privilege. It's a gift and a privilege for you to be in church. I don't want to take advantage or disregard God's gift to us. God gave us the gift of being in church. And we don't want, and I want everything that God can possibly give to me. Amen? Every decision matters. Sunday morning, you get up and you feel tired and you don't feel like going to church, but you get up, you get cleaned up, and you come because it really matters. Amen? It matters. Every decision matters, even the little ones. Like deciding to hang out with the right people matters. Right? Who you hang out can determine your destiny. You know, I know everybody needs to have friends, not just in church, but outside the church too as well. But I want to tell you, but you got to limit the time that you spend with people that are not walking on the same path that you're walking. Amen? Yeah, but they're my friends. I can't not hang out with them. But God has called you to walk a path. Make sure the people that you're walking with are walking on the same path. And sometimes you just got to tell people, listen, I'm not going the same place you're going. I made a decision to follow Jesus. And sometimes we just got to be intentional. Be intentional about hanging out with the right people. Amen? Every decision matters. Every decision can affect your destiny. And here's one more. It matters when you do daily devotions to put the right things into your mind. Right? It matters when you pray, when you talk to God every day, when you read, when you listen to the Word of God. It really matters. Psalm 119, verse 9. The psalmist says, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. Psalm 119, verse 97. The psalmist says, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I tell you, I want wisdom. I want to be wiser than my enemies. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet, and it's a light for my path. Wow. 176 verses in one psalm alone. I think God is saying, yes, his word really matters in our life, right? We're going to talk about the life of Jesus. Jesus was educated. He was taught in the word of God at a very early age. He's like all the young Jewish boys at that time who believed in God. 10 years old. By the time he was 10 years old, he was already studying the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. By the time he hit 13, they were supposed to have those five books memorized. Can you imagine that? I mean, Jesus knew the Word of God. He also knew the writings of the prophets, like the prophet Isaiah. And he read these words in Isaiah 53. He was oppressed and afflicted, and yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. I mean, he was just 10 years old. He was a little boy. And when he heard these words, I believe there was some sense that he understood that these words were talking about him. I believe that when he heard those words, his little boy heart, something disturbed him. It was a bit of a shock that was taking place within him. And I think at that time, like every little boy, he wanted to cry out for his mom. He'd say, "Mom, Mom, Mom." And his mom would hold him and said, "Mom, are these words, is this my path? Is this the path for my life?" And Mary would say to him, "Yes, my son, you were called to be the hope of the world." These words, he knew that there was a pathway for him to walk. And that pathway would cost him a lot of pain. And throughout all these years, these words must have affected him. There must have been pain. There must have been struggle within his spirit. And I think he even had dreams about, maybe some bad dreams about this. And I believe that in order for him to endure, you know, it took great passion, great determination. And I think he had to focus not just on the first part of this prophecy in Isaiah, but also on the last part. He had to focus and to keep on focusing on that last part, which says, "Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand." And it's like he's saying, "I must do my Father's will. That's my passion. I must do my Father's will. I will do his will. His will be done. His kingdom will be done, will come. And many, many will deeply prosper because I am called to walk this path." Verse 11 says, "And after he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. He bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." That was his destiny. And he has to learn, even at that age, to be strong, to be brave, to keep walking, to say, "I made that decision. And I'm determined to do it," right? One day at a time, one step at a time, to keep walking the path that God has called him to walk. Amen. I am so thankful. Are you thankful today? Are you thankful? Can you show your appreciation? Can you clap? Can you worship God because of what he does today? Amen. I am so thankful that Jesus was committed. You know, there are so many movies today, so many television series about superheroes, right? So many superheroes. You lose track of all the superheroes. I started watching one Marvel series, and it was like this superhero, and then there was another superhero. Then there was all the superheroes coming together to be superheroes teams and everything. It's like superheroes, right? The world is looking for heroes. And I want to tell you that Jesus is the hero of all heroes. Amen? Because he had to summon his boldness. He had to summon his courage despite all opposition. And he never gave up. Amen? And what he had to endure and what he had to go through, no human, I think, that he could even go through what he had to go through. Amen? You know, The Passion of the Christ. It's a movie that's, I don't know, it's been around for a while, but The Passion of the Christ, I think, is perhaps a truer depiction than what we realize. When you think about the pain, you think about the agony, you think about the shame that he had to endure. It was beyond what any person I know could ever endure. You know, and I've got some slides for you. These are very graphic. If you don't like them, look away. You know, They beat him. They mocked him. They tore out his beard. They whipped him. They scourged him with this whip called the cat of nine tails, and it had nine tails on it, when each one had a tiny metal hook. And every time they beat him, it would tear open his flesh, and tiny bits of flesh would come out with it. They beat him, they scourged him, they did everything to him. But it was like he was saying to them, it's going to take more than this to keep me down. It's going to take more than this to stop me from going to the cross. Amen? He said, I'm determined to go to the cross. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get challenged. Sometimes I feel beaten up. Do you ever feel beaten up? I do. Sometimes I feel beaten up. Sometimes I think, you know, I just can't do this anymore. I just want to quit. You know, it's hard. It's hard to live with the thought that sometimes some people don't like you. And sometimes people reject you. And sometimes they're even saying bad things about you. It's hard. And what you want to do is, you know, and immediately I think, no, I just want to give up. I just want to throw in the towel. But then I think about Jesus. I think about what he did for me and what he endured for me. Amen? He's my greatest example. He's my greatest reward. And he encourages me to keep on walking. Amen? Second point. Everyone has given a path to walk on. There's a path for you to walk on, and it's designed just for you by God. Do you know that? And this path has joy, it has rewards, it has abundant life, but it also has pain, it has opposition, it has uncertainty, it has injustice. Amen? It has all these things, but listen, this is part of the path and the plan that God has for your life. It includes all these things. It's just part of your story. Your greatest achievement is not the fact that people think that you're the greatest person who ever lived, that you're popular, that you're educated, you know, that you're a nice person. Your greatest achievement will be that you kept walking the path that God had you to walk on. That's your greatest achievement, right? No matter how hard it is, no matter how unfair it is, listen, troubles are going to come your way. Hardships will be part of your life. But keep walking the path. Keep walking the path that God has for you. Amen? Decide to walk the path. Proverbs 24, verse 10 says, if you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength? If one trouble comes your way and you melt to the ground and roll up into a fetal ball and say, God can't, I can't take it. He says, come on, how small is your strength? Come on, get up, right? Here's another great verse. Well, a verse that's kind of like that, Jeremiah 12, verse 5, where God said to Jeremiah, if you have raced with men on foot and they have worn you out, how can you compete with horses? If you stumble in safe country, how will you manage in the thickets by the Jordan? In Ephesians 6, verse 10, Paul said to us, finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Be strong. Keep the faith. Keep walking the path for your life. Amen? Number three, walk in such a way that you leave no regrets in this life and this world. Walk in such a way that you leave this life with no regrets. At the end of your life, your greatest regrets won't be the things you did, but the things you knew you should have done and wish you could have done. And I believe that we'll have regrets because some of the challenges that were given to us, we didn't respond to. You know, every week we challenge you, don't we? Every week we challenge you. We say, give your heart to Jesus. Right? Give your heart to Jesus. We say, take the next step. Get water baptized. We say, join a team, serve. Or we say, get connected, make some new friends, join a small group. Do you hear that challenge every single week? We say, if you get discouraged, get up and encourage yourself in the Lord. We challenge every week, stay in church. See, all these are part of God's plan for your life. Just one good next step and decision for you that God wants you to take to stay on the path. Amen? All of this is just God's plan for your life. Stay in church. Be a part of church. Make friends. I say, if you're a part of the church, at some time you're going to get offended. Have you ever been offended by anybody in church? Nobody? I'm the only one? You guys are starting to be honest, are you? Listen, if you're a part of the church, you will be offended. You'll be offended. Somebody's going to say something. Somebody's going to do something to you, right? And you can make that decision to be offended, and you can start talking about it for days, for weeks, for years. They did this to, that to me, and they did they said this to me, so I'm not coming to church anymore. Do you know anybody like that? Yeah, everybody said, mm-hmm. Right? Listen, if you do that, you will regret the day. You will regret the very moment that you made that decision to be offended. You will regret the moment that you decided not to forgive and not to get over it. And what does it say? Get over it. Get over it. I don't want to say that in a mean way. I'm not saying that in a trite way. I'm saying do everything that you can to deal with an offense in your heart. Do everything that you can in order to keep on walking and staying on the path that God has for you. Right? Do whatever you can to do that. Stay on the path that God has for you. Decide, I will not let anything push me out of the place that God has for me. And I am bound and determined, no matter how hard, how difficult it is, to stay on the path that God has for me, for my life. Amen? You know, I see people, sometimes I bump into people that I haven't seen for a while, and I haven't bumped into any of you guys, right? You know, out in the street, and sometimes I haven't seen people for a while, and immediately say, oh, Pastor, sorry we haven't been in church for a while, and then they start saying stuff like, stuff happens, and they start, well, this happened, and that happened, and I had somebody say to me one time, we were all set to go to church last week, and then we got this phone call from this long-lost relative, and hadn't talked to him for years, so I got to talk to him on the phone, and we had so many things to share, and it got kind of late, so we just all decided to stay home, and besides, it snowed that day anyway, and I'm thinking as he's talking, are you kidding me? This is what keeps you from coming to church? You got to be kidding me. There's a path you're meant to walk in. There's decisions you need to make. Jesus gave us the ultimate example of what it looks like to make decisions today that lead to joy and victory for us tomorrow. Amen? So let's follow the example of the greatest person who ever lived this and walked this earth. Let's follow Jesus. Amen? Finish with one great scripture message version. Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 3. Do you see what this means? All the pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race that we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, line by line. That long litany of hostility he plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Wow, don't you love that, the way that's written? You know, let's look past the present. Let's look to the bigger picture, right? Because you are headed to the place of your reward. You are headed to your final destiny. And God has called you to walk that way, right? In his way, in his will. Amen? Let's not give up on God. Let's look past the past, right? And I'm going to ask you a few questions. Is there anything that you need to let go of today? What's holding you back? Is there anything that you need to put behind you? You know, is there anyone here? Is there any man? Is there any woman? Is there any teenager? Is there any child that you need to stand up and you need to say to God, I'm heading in the direction of the path that you call me to walk for. Is there anyone here? Let's all stand up. I want us to make a declaration today. Will you pray after me? Thank you, Father. Will you pray after me? Say, Father God, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to move in God's direction. Your direction for my life. I'm not going to worry about what my friends say. I'm not going to worry about what my family says, what peer pressure says. I'm getting back on God's path for my life. I'm going to follow Jesus, his path, for the rest of my life. And if you agree with that, say amen and give a shout to Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Just remain standing for a minute. I want to just ask you to just everyone to close their eyes, bow their heads, just for a minute. You know, if you're here today and you've never made that first decision, you've never invited Christ into your heart, that is the most important decision that you could ever make. It's the first and the greatest decision. And you simply make that decision by saying this simple prayer, inviting Christ into your heart. And I promise you, you make that decision, you invite Christ into your heart, and your life will change forever. You will never be the same. The Bible says, when we receive Christ into our heart, we become a new creation. We become transformed into a new person, more like Jesus, so much less than what you used to be like. Amen? So if that's you here today and you're ready to receive Christ into your heart, I want you to say and repeat this very simple prayer. In fact, can we all say this simple prayer together? Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart. I invite you into my life. Please forgive me for every sin I've committed. Make me into that new person. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. In Jesus' name I declare, amen and amen. If you said that prayer very first time, I want you to raise your hand and just wave. I said, say, when you do that, you say, Pastor, I receive Christ in my heart. Any hands here? Raise them up high. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. God, you're so good. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for the challenge. We thank you for the power of the cross. We thank you for Jesus' incredible passion and determination to not give up. And Lord, let that same spirit, Let that same attitude be in every single one of us. And help us to be our brother's keeper. When we see people that are waning in their faith, that are not trusting in God, that are really struggling, that need encouragement, help us to come alongside of them and to really pick them up and say, let's